Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome all to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here, spending some time this evening with us. Excited that we can bring another episode to you. Have an exciting guest in store, and we're ready to introduce her, but not quite yet because I want to make sure that you all know how to get in touch with the show. You can email me at fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. You can follow the show also at fshdsociety.org. I think it's like / radio show, something of that nature. But you can find past episodes there and links there, as well as anywhere you find podcasts. So if you missed past episodes, including last month when we talked to Jamshid. That's how I'm going to go with it, because we were jamming with Jamshid a little bit, and we were talking to him about the science of FSHD and a lot of other things that are in the works, and had a great conversation with him. So if you missed that live airing, it is still available for you anywhere you find your podcast. So thanks for being here. And I guess I don't want to wait any longer, because we got Heloise Hoffman joining us on this episode. We've talked to her in the past, but we're kind of looking at it more of a generational episode. We're going to talk about Generation Z, and she represents that generation, of course. And we welcome her now to the show. Hello, Heloise. How are you doing?
Hi, Tim. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. Thanks for spending some time yet again with us. I know you're a big activist and very active within the FSHD community, and you're doing a ton of other things, and I'm sure we'll kind of hit those as we go through our conversation today. But for those that maybe don't know you very well, maybe this is the first time they're seeing you, which I would find that hard to believe, you know, but just to kind of get people caught up on who you are, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Heloise Hoffman. I am 17 years old right now. So as Tim said, I'm a Generation Z-er. And I was diagnosed with FSHD when I was 13 years old. But I started showing symptoms when I was around 10. I was a very active tennis player and horseback rider. Those were my two big passions. But when I was 10 years old, things started to go wrong. I would stumble on the tennis court and drop my racket. And when I was riding horses, my shoulders would be uneven and sore, even after just an hour of riding. So we spent some time with doctors, you know, doctor after doctor, blood draw after blood draw, trying to figure out what was wrong. And eventually, after 3 years, we landed on the diagnosis of FSHD. And that just put my world at a standstill, because I did not know anyone who had FSHD. None of my family members are affected since I am a de novo mutation. So it was really isolating at first. And as a 13-year-old girl, I didn't want my life to be any different. I in sports, especially in a very sports-centered middle school, it was really tough for a few years to digest my diagnosis. You know, for around 2.5 years, I faced a lot of self-doubt. And as I'm sure everyone with FSHD knows, you know, you face a lot of uncertainty about your future. So for around 2 years, I didn't share my diagnosis with because I thought that if I just ignored it, it would go away. But that was obviously not the case. In Texas at that point, but then I moved to Florida, and now that I had moved to Florida, I realized it was kind of a blank slate, and I could kind of start over and with these people that I had never met. So I started to kind of digest the diagnosis myself, and eventually I decided, you know, I didn't want to be consumed by this diagnosis anymore. You know, although I have FSHD, it does not have me. And that was kind of my mindset all of a sudden, kind of. And I watched a webinar from the FSHD Society on different ways to get involved. And the first thing that grabbed my attention was starting a chapter, and just off of an impulsive decision, kind of, but the best decision of my life. I emailed Beth from the FSHD Society saying that I wanted to be a chapter director, and here I am. I founded the Southwest Florida FSHD chapter when I was 15 years old. And so now 2 years later, I've kind of become addicted to activation, and I'm really inspired by, you know, activism for FSHD, raising awareness and funds, researching, all of that. So that's kind of who I am, and along with a group of some friends with FSHD who I've met along the journey, we're now leading the initiative of Gen Z of FSHD to kind of help other youth with FSHD to realize their potential and assume their role in marching for a cure.
I love that title, that Gen Z of FSHD, you know, representing that generation of people, kind of activating that generation a little bit, and more like uniting, kind of setting yourself apart and helping that group of people rise up a little bit. Do you find that it's difficult? I know you did it first when you first were diagnosed at 13, but that, I mean, that's pretty young to have to deal with something pretty heavy, you know, that you have to kind of cope with. But the question, I guess, is, you know, do you find that that's difficult in your experience? Maybe you've had other conversations with people your age or around your age that have had to deal with FSHD diagnosis. So do you find that it's difficult at a young age to come out and talk about it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for anyone who's newly diagnosed with FSHD, whatever age, it's of course very difficult because it is life-changing. And something very unique about FSHD is that you really don't really have a model of what you're going to look like in 5, 10, 15, like 20 years, since it proves differently in every single patient. So especially a young person with your whole future ahead of you, it's really difficult to accept the fact that, you know, your life isn't going to be what you fantasized it to be. But that's okay, because, you know, once I accepted my diagnosis, I realized that, you know, just because I'm living differently doesn't mean that I can't live fully. And that's something that I've really embraced over the past few years and especially months. So it was definitely very difficult at first, especially since I attended a middle school in Texas that was all about sports. You know, if you weren't playing a sport, you were a nerd and you were not cool. So having to all of a sudden drop writing, playing tennis, I got a lot of questions, and, you know, teenagers can be really, really mean, especially, you know, middle schoolers. You know, if you don't fit into a cookie cutter standard, you know, one size fits all, then you're kind of the odd one out, and you're cast aside. And, you know, having FSHD is something that doesn't fit into the cookie cutter shape. You have to have a lot of resilience, courage, and you know, fortitude of mind to accept that diagnosis. So it can definitely be hard as a young person to you know, accept that diagnosis and keep living with it and realize your self-worth, you know, mentally and physically, you know, as a young person.
Yeah, but that's a difficult time for the average person to go through. It was a while ago since I had to deal with it, but I have a son that's 14, and you know, I hear the whispers, and I coach baseball with 14-year-olds involved and 12-year-olds as well, and so I kind of understand at least some of the hurdles that they're dealing with in this time. It's obviously way different than when I was growing up, and I accept that change, and that they're being raised in a different world. So when you're talking about that, like that social stigma of it, you don't fit in. And with social media and that connectivity now of the Generation Z, for sure, especially over past generations like mine, Generation X, for instance, do you find it then it was even more difficult to like overcome that hurdle?
Yeah, I think with, you know, social media and lives being, you know, just put out on the internet, right. You see all these standards and messages, and there are a lot of mixed messages. You know, some are portraying a perfect life, free of any trouble, and then some others are portraying, you know, it's okay to go through these hurdles. And it can be really confusing having all of this information put on you at once, and people doing things that you may not do anymore with FSHD on social media, and you're like, you know, I wish I could still do that. How come I could do that a year ago and not today? So it's hard with, you know, lives just being put out on the internet, and being exposed to that, you know, all the time, every day. But you know, it's really about finding a balance and realizing that what you see on the internet isn't what people's real lives always are, and also that, you know, there are a lot of accounts on the internet that are promoting you know, self acceptance and everything, and including our account actually of Gen Z of FSHD, you know, where we really stand for activating the younger community and you know, keeping the younger community involved. So I think the rise of social media has definitely had cons, but also pros, because now we're able to spread out information to the young people, and you know, give them the tools that they might need to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It can work both ways. So it can be a negative thing, but if you put yourselves out there, and as the Gen Z of FSHD, you're obviously kind of turning the tide the other way. Look, there's positive places to be active, and that people can find you guys and get support that way. Do you find then for young people, it's harder to be open about FSHD and its diagnosis when they get diagnosed? Do you think it's just harder for them to come out about it compared to, like, let's say, you know, even older than my generation?
I think, you know, everyone has their own circumstances of life, and everyone has different networks that they might be living in. But I think for me, it took, I don't know how many years, but it took quite a few years for me to make my first social media post about FSHD. And to be really, that when I made my first social media post was really when I became fully open about my diagnosis. And that was in for World FSHD Day of 2020, actually. So really not that long ago, just about a year ago. And up until that point, a lot of my friends didn't even know. I had just shared with my close friends. But the second that I made that post, actually, I would never go back to the time where I wasn't open about my diagnosis, because people really want to help. And that's something that I discovered through my whole journey, is that people are there to support you. And, you know, some people just like your post, but some people will, like, send, I got phone calls that day, you know, all kinds of comments, text messages. So I think it's definitely hard to start your opening up process. And because right before I hit post, I was like, oh my gosh, are people, what are people's reactions going to be? Are people going to treat me differently? Because that's always my biggest fear when I share, is, you know, I don't want people to treat me with pity or to treat me differently. You know, I'm still the same Heloise. But it's not all of me at all. So starting to open up is difficult, but once you actually do, it's really life changing.
Now, that was definitely courageous, you know, hitting that post button. I remember doing that myself, but I was 40, you know, and kind of throwing it out there. And I'd made, just like you, I think, well, maybe a little sooner, I decided to either be, you know, really quiet about it or really loud about it. And I decided to be loud about it. And it didn't take long for me to do that, at least within family, friends, like you said, a closer knit circle. But to put it out into the internet world was definitely a bigger leap, a bigger step. It was opening yourself up to be vulnerable. You're right, to receive not necessarily negativity. I've never really received negativity about the diagnosis, at least not to my face, and or social media for that matter. But the response, yeah, like you talked about, the pity side or the, I don't know, like when people ask you, maybe for instance, you know, I know when they ask me, how are you doing? But the tone changes in their voice, the expression changes in their face, where I know they're not just asking about me, like in general, like, hey, how's work? How's your life? They're not asking that. They're specifically asking, without asking it, how are you doing with your disease? So how do you, in your generation, a person of your age, how do you deal with that response from people? Even though it might come from a good place, you know, where they really do care, but how do you cope or deal with that kind of almost a pity question of how are you doing?
I mean, I think it's definitely something person will interpret differently. And my circle is just so support. I'm so grateful for the people who are surrounding me because they do, you know, always check up on me. But I've noticed that recently with more like all the posts that I've been making on social media, they have been more like I always say, you know, I don't want you to treat me differently. You're pity. And so I think people understand that. And even though I do get those questions of, you know, how are you doing? And the unsaid with your disease.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, they are trying to be, it is coming from a place of care, and, you know, it shows that they do care and that they genuinely want to know how I'm doing. And so I don't really take, you know, offense to that because I know that I have FSHD and that, you know, it does change my life, but it doesn't change who I am as a person. So when people ask that question, you know, it's important to realize they're asking about that part of your life, but they're not necessarily placing that judgment on you as a person. And it's not a judgment at all. It's actually, you know, those people want to know how you're doing. And that's a gesture that's, you know, a kind gesture that they want to check up on and make sure that you're doing well, you know, physically, emotionally, I'm not always honest when people ask me that, because sometimes I'm just not in the mood to say, you know, like, I had a fall yesterday, or I'm having trouble doing this, you know, everyday activity, because that is something that's hard to share. But you know, being vulnerable and open is something that's not to be taken lightly. If it's with someone you really trust, you know, they're if they're asking how you are in the first place, they're, you know, that means they care.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. It should mean that they care about how you're doing. And that's just kind of their way. So you talked about, you mentioned the acceptance, you know, of your diagnosis, right? You kind of use that word. And I've heard people in the past say, well, if I accept the diagnosis, it feels like defeat. You know, did that thought ever cross your mind? Like, if I accept this, then I'm almost defeated by it.
You know, recently, my chapter had a virtual chapter meeting, and one of the patients said something that really stuck with me, and that I've been trying to keep in mind, you know, as I walk this journey. It's, you know, I've always had a bit of that thought in the back of my mind, you know, like, if I accept that I have FSHD, then does that mean that, you know, I'm letting it consume me, or that I'm surrendering to it? But, you know, what my chapter member said, you know, you don't fight back. The second that you accept your diagnosis, then you're letting it be a part of you, and you're accepting that it's gonna make you live differently and do things differently than those around you. But that's just the nature of this disease, and that doesn't make you any less of a person. You can still live fully, even though you are doing things differently. And you know, that's definitely something I've kept in mind, and that I always think about, because, you know, I at my age, at 17, I do things differently than my friends. And, you know, sometimes my friends talk about something that they did that day, and I think, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do that. And sometimes I'm you know, walking around with my friends and my legs are getting, I'm like, darn, I wish I could, you know, keep having fun with my friends. But you know, if I keep pushing back, then change is still going to be happening to my body. And just by being, you know, a bit stubborn about it, that's not going to stop the course of the disorder. So if I just accept it and accept that it's going to change my life, then I will be able to accept it with open arms and with a positive attitude, while still realizing that, you know, I can still live fully. And FSHD affects our muscles, but it can't affect, you know, our brain power, which is something that I'm grateful for every day, because it means that I can still set my mind to have a positive attitude, and FSHD cannot take away that positive attitude and that love for life.
That's a great outlook, and I know that's kind of tough for a lot of people to get to that point. I always say that I'm not a positive person by nature. I try to surround myself with positive people or positive things, if it's books or podcasts or something like that, kind of when I need it, almost infect myself with it, because if not, I will just be the pessimist. So I guess it kind of leads me then to this also side of that, you know, trying to stay positive, trying to have a good outlook, even when it is tough. But I think also as a younger person, and I remember this when I was younger, is that sometimes you feel a little bit like you're immortal, you know, when you're younger. Nothing is going to affect me. You know, I mean, I'm young. I got my whole life ahead of me. When you were diagnosed, because I'm sure there's some people listening to this and they might be shaking their head when I ask this, is that did that kind of infiltrate that thought of, holy cow, like this is kind of life-changing already at 13. This is testing my morality or my mortality, excuse me, my mortality. You kind of like understand where I'm coming from. Like,
yes,
you feel like,
yes,
that,
yes,
kind of, you know, attack that mindset.
Yeah. I think that that's definitely a big, big factor of accepting a diagnosis like this one at such a young age, is that I understand completely that feeling that you were describing. And you're right, that is something that so many young people experience. And then at some point in their lives, they realize, like, well, I'm not really immortal and things can hurt me. Yeah. And I think that, you know, being diagnosed with FSHD and is like one of those points that one of those roadblocks that make you stop and have this realization. But I think that really, looking at my peers, a lot of the people around me do have that attitude. And I think that being diagnosed with FSHD made me a lot more mature all of a sudden and have a more serious outlook on life, I guess. I mean, obviously I can still like have fun with my friends and, you know, like I'm not like a completely like serious person who doesn't make any jokes ever and doesn't have a sense of humor, but you know, it does make me realize that there are bigger things in life. And you know, that things can hurt me and mm-hmm. you know, obviously that's a bit of a bummer, realizing that a bit ahead of time, that you know, you can't just like be immortal, but I think it does make you a lot more resilient and mature in the long run. And I've noticed my mind works much more deeply than you know, some of my peers, and I really appreciate that aspect of my personality that I think FSHD definitely has contributed to, is the fact that, you know, I can more deeply and a bit less superficially. You know, I do realize that there is a huge gift, and that every day is a blessing.
The mindset of like, yeah, life is a gift, or dare you say it, almost FSHD has been slightly kind of a gift. I mean, some people gave, I'll use this as an example, Meredith Hummel from the North Carolina chapter, wrote an article, and within it, she kind of said, FSHD Society as a gift. And she had some negative responses in social media saying, if this is a gift, I want to return it. And this is a crappy gift. And I don't know if I'd say that. You know, people really kind of splattered this, negative tone to it. Like, this is one hell of a, bad gift and this and that. You can kind of see where people would probably take slight to that, even though Meredith is, entitled to her opinion and how she copes with it and how she came to that conclusion. And I've kind of agreed or defended her thought process, meaning that I think that this disease has made me a better person, because it's just made me more aware, more sensitive to others, and what they have to go through, whatever their something is. This just happens to be one of our somethings. So how do you see it as that, or defending that thought process, if you will, of, has FSHD made you a better person? You talked about making you more mature, or maybe mature quickly, or seeing world from a different perspective. So what would have been your life, do you think, without having this? Do you think it's made you better?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all about your outlook and your perspective, on FSHD. And obviously, like, FSHD has kind of turned my life around. I'm not on the tennis courts anymore, or on the horse riding arena, but it's brought me personally so many other joys. For example, once I had to stop playing sports, I turned to music and theater, and now I'm fully involved in singing opera, which I've always had a passion for classical music and opera, but having FSHD just made me dive into that and get involved in on the stage with theater. I play music in a band. I kind of shifted my passions around. And then on the personality side, FSHD has definitely made me a much more sensitive and sensible person, in the sense that I feel so much gratitude for, the everyday things that some people might take for granted, like setting the table, and those are just the most mundane tasks and chores that no one wants to do, right? But every time I do them, I'm I'm glad that I'm still able to do this. And so I have a lot of gratitude for the small things. I've also always had a lot of empathy towards others, but having FSHD just sharpens that, because like you were saying, everyone is going through something. And, sometimes it's difficult to realize that when they look like they're having such a great life on the outside, but maybe when they get home, they have this really big, burden that they're carrying on their shoulders, and you have no idea what that is. So it's always so important to be kind to others. And that's something that FSHD definitely taught me, because I look normal. 25% of patients are in a wheelchair, and that's devastating. But 75% who may not be using a wheelchair, people may look and be you're 100% fine. Why do you need to sit down? But that's not, we're all going through our own struggles. I think due to FSHD, I'm not very physically flexible, but I think that's been replaced with a lot of mental adaptability and flexibility. I'm very receptive to change, and I think that's something really important in a society that's changing so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, you hit a lot of things there. A society that's changing so quickly, being great adapters. I think that's what FSHD people are. They're just incredible at adapting to their environment and still moving forward, if it's as mundane task as you talked about, or something a little more difficult to have to deal with. Do you find, though, and you can brag on your generation a little bit here, Generation Z, do you find that people of your generation are more involved, more prone to get active if it's FSHD and FSHD society or something within that world or even beyond that? Have you been finding that you guys are just more active, you just want to stand up more and make a change?
Yeah, definitely. I think as a generation, I think it has a lot to do with the rise of social media. Mm-hmm. teens have these platforms that they can reach thousands of people with, and a lot of us are realizing that potential and tapping into it by spreading awareness about causes that are dear to us. You know, I use it to spread awareness about FSHD. My sister, I have a sister, and she's very passionate about, you know, coral restoration, and she's constantly posting about that and speaking up about that. A lot of my friends are passionate about their own causes. So, you know, we have these huge platforms that we can use to spread awareness about important causes. And so I think that inherently has led to, you know, a proneness to become activists in real life as well. Like, I find that I speak up in conversations about things that are important to me, and I get active, you know, in the real world, not just on social media. So I think that's a gift that's been given to our generation with, you know, the rise of social media and technology. And I think using that has a lot of power, especially, you know, for FSHD. Now that you know, we're able to have an impact through this, and I think the people of our generation are really tapping into that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I can't agree with you more. I mean, I think as I was growing up, you know, they called us the Generation X, and that they said, you know, that we're all kind of selfish, and I don't know what else. You know, there were some negative labels in there too, but I don't think we were ever accused of being very, as a generation, you know, cause focused. You know, I think it took some time for us to get into that. And what I'm finding with this Generation Z is that there is courage in speaking out. Like, you can find other people with like-minded or other causes, and there's not a fear of, I'm going to speak up about this because this is important to me. And I find that is happening more and more, and I'm not against it. I actually think it's opened my eyes to go, wow, there is problems here. Holy cow. You know, sometimes you can twist it and go, man, the world's really screwed up. But at the same time, there's a lot of people trying to make a difference in it in their corner of the world. And I think that's admirable. Now, when we go into this, you know, we jumped into this conversation for Gen Z of FSHD, but this is this becoming now a real thing or real platform for you and others being involved? I mean, is there, in Generation Z, is there places that you and others have put kind of a social media presence to it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, in case any of the viewers aren't aware, we have set up an Instagram account at Gen Z of FSHD. I believe there may be some underscores in there. I'm not sure off the top of my head. But we're rapidly growing. You know, new people are following us every day, and it's amazing for us to watch, because, you know, more people are jumping onto our cause. And so, you know, what we do is we make posts periodically about, you know, important things going on in the community. For example, we recently made a post about the Fulcrum update, which was so exciting. And, you know, obviously for some people who may not be as, you know, science oriented, the webinar may have been, and the press release may have been a bit confusing to understand. So, you know, we've tried to make the language a bit simpler so that everyone could really understand. And, you know, we've made other posts about, you know, upcoming events in the FSHD Society so that people can stay up to date on, you know, what's going on. And we think that's all really important because, you know, for example, for the Fulcrum update, it may get people more excited about the research that's going on, you know, if they're able to understand it in simpler terms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being exposed to the upcoming events gets people's minds turning on, you know, what can I do to be involved in these upcoming events? And, you know, we're just starting out this account, but we're so excited to see where it could go, because it's much positive feedback. You know, we get these comments from people who are maybe like a bit older saying, you know, I wish this was around when I was your age, because this would have made me feel so much more comfortable with my diagnosis. You know, knowing that there is a community out there of younger people, especially since FSHD, you know, tends to start its manifestations in the the 20s or the 30s, you know, in slightly older populations, it can be isolating as a younger person, you know, in your teens. You know, like, am I the only one who's affected so young? But no one is ever alone. And that's something that we're trying to show the whole community also with our movement.
How did that start? Was it like, did this one post lead to another and go, hey, we got something here, and then kind of more organize it? How did the organizing of it begin? What was like the roots?
Yeah, with the FSHD Society as a whole, I and other people have been able to network with so many other people, and I've met so many other patients with FSHD, including some younger people with FSHD. For example, Jacob Dunn, who is one of the other admins of Gen Z of FSHD, he was on the Volunteer Leadership Summit training conference with me, and we kind of connected over that, and then we met later on over Zoom. And Lexi Pappas, of course, I know her because, you know, she's a great spearhead figure in FSHD. And then Alina Jones, I connected with her over last year's Patient Connect conference. Okay. And so, yeah, you know, we all kind of just knew each other from FSHD and a community, you know, community events. And so we all kind of came together at some point and we thought, you know, it might be cool to, since we're young people with FSHD and we see the power firsthand of activism, you know, me, I've been super involved lately with FSHD because it's not only making a difference in other people's lives by raising awareness, but also my own, because I've become so much more comfortable with my diagnosis. You know, we're seeing firsthand the effects of activism on coping with our diagnoses and raising awareness, that we realized it was important to get other people involved as well, especially since the younger populations have such a great potential to make a difference.
Oh man, well put. Yes, potential to make a difference, absolutely. And helping those that you've said, you know, feeling isolated, because you're right, it's not very common to be diagnosed in your younger age of your life. So, you know, for me, it was 40. Others, I've heard it's 30. Others even older. And they can connect maybe some other form, fashion. Maybe they don't at all. I don't know. It all depends on how people want to deal with it. But I feel that since the Generation Z has the connectivity with the internet in the generation they're being brought up in, and all the technology and this and that and the connectivity of people, I think it's almost a must to have some type of platform for that generation so that they don't feel so isolated. Because I can only imagine that if I was your age and I go start to look into FSHD on the internet, I'm like, these are all old people. Like, I can't really relate to this. You know, they lived their teenage years and they were probably active or athletic, and then they had got diagnosed or affected by the disease later, kind of after that part of their life is probably for the most part slowed down. And I was really glad that you touched on that, Heloise, that you talked about how you played tennis and you rode horse and you did a lot of athletic things, because we've talked to other athletes that were at the top of their game and the diagnosis and the disease took a hold, right? And then it kind of went down. You've given also great advice on adapting, right? You said going to physical and more kind of, I guess, mental side of things now, right? Or singing, or just adapting to doing different things and creating different passions. You mentioned before we hit record that you're also working as an intern right now within the scope of FSHD. I'd love for you to kind of talk about that and some of the things you're doing.
Yeah, so I've always been passionate about science, and I think that was definitely fueled by my diagnosis of FSHD, you know, since the genetics behind it are so intricate. And to me, that the genetics behind FSHD are actually super interesting. And so there's a lab at Yale University, the LEC lab, is working on, you know, all kinds of rare diseases, including FSHD. And, you know, I've known for a while that I would love to do an internship there, because I love the work that they do. And obviously, it's so personal to me since they work on FSHD. So I'm internshipping with them right now, actually. Unfortunately, I couldn't be there in person due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but I'm working remotely with them, and you know, the work that I'm doing there is very interesting right now. I'm doing, you know, genetic analysis of the DUX4 repeats in the D4Z4 region. I won't get too geeky, I promise, but you know, I right now what I'm doing is determining if there's any variation in the genetic sequence of each DUX4 gene, which is really interesting because the whole human genome was recently fully mapped, which is a huge exciting event in science. And so I'm now using that data from the complete genome to determine that variation. And what's really exciting is that I may be the first person to be doing this since the genome was just released so recently. So I think like I'm completely passionate about science, and I think it's really cool that, you know, with getting involved with FSHD research, I'm able to potentially have an impact on the field, and also, you know, be the first person to be researching this potentially. And you know, even if some young people aren't involved in science or really particularly interested by it, I think that it's really cool that hopefully through our Gen Z of FSHD account, we can get people excited about the research that's going on with FSHD, because there are so many, you know, so many pharmaceutical companies are getting more interested in researching FSHD. So there are so many like clinical trials going on, but also so many molecular level research projects that are happening. And I think that that's really exciting. And, you know, for people to stay up to date on that is really exciting too.
Now, you mentioned too about the fulcrum, and I was kind of leading in with that because I knew, you know, you with this internship, the passion you have for science. How would you translate, you know, what you read about the fulcrum, you know, announcement?
Yeah. So, this is something that kind of made a lot of headlines and may discourage people if they just look up fulcrum trial update. Is that they did not reach their primary endpoint, which was a reduction of the DUX4 expression. However, this is just something on the molecular level, and it's really hard to determine DUX4 expression since it's so variable. It's kind of random. Like, it's not in every fiber of every muscle at once. It kind of jumps around. It's different. It's in different places in every patient. So just inherently, it's really difficult to determine the expression of DUX4. On the other hand, they had really, really promising clinical outcomes, and those are the things that you know we should be focusing on, because there was actually improvement in some of they ran a lot of clinical tests, you know, that the patients were performing other than, you know, biopsies and molecular tests, including MRIs. They did MRIs where they measured the, you know, fat infiltration into the muscle, and the progression was greatly slowed with people who are taking the drug compared to those who are on the placebo. And on some of the clinical tests, there was actually some improvement, which is really exciting. And, you know, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, they had to prolong the trial from 24 to 48 weeks, which was kind of a bummer at first because it was like, you know, it would take twice as long to get the results. But actually, it's actually really good that that did happen, because at 24 weeks, some of the trends in the clinical outcomes weren't apparent yet, whereas at the end of 48 weeks, they were like quite apparent. So it's actually the COVID-19 pandemic actually had a positive you know, effect on this trial. So I think there's lots to be hopeful about this, and Fulcrum said that they're gonna be talking to the FDA later this year about, you know, exploring potential paths forward for drug approval. So, you know, there's a lot of work here on the horizon.
Wow. Thank you for translating that. Because I didn't like what so many, I'm like, well, some good news here, I guess. And there's kind of some kind of bad news. And then after a while, just kind of reading it, I'm like, man, you know, I'm trying to search for I think what most people are looking for, and that's hope. So I'm glad you kind of keyed in on that part of it as you finished your explanation. So I appreciate that. You know, I kind of put you on the spot, but you did awesome at kind of translating for those of us that need it. Final question for you is, you know, I guess kind of a generic question, but I know you'll knock it out of the park, and that is the future. If it's, you know, what your generation is bringing to the table is huge. So maybe it kind of piggybacks within that. You know, what do you see from for Generation Z and even younger, right, as generations go forward? What is your hope in regard to FSHD?
All right. I think, you know, every single patient, whether Gen Z or another generation, has so much potential in them to make a difference. You know, it's never too late to start being an activist. But specifically our generation, you know, as we've touched on before, you know, we have this power of connection, and power of connection not only to each other, but to each other as FSHD patients, but also, you know, to friends and family and even strangers. And this connection, you know, connection between people is really what it comes down to at the end of the day. You know, knowing that there are friends and families and even strangers that want to support you. And that's a power that can kind of feed you. You know, having all of the support backing you just gives you so much fuel to kind of propel forward, and give you, you know, hope and activism and power to digest and deal with your diagnosis. You know, there are people want to help, and in today's world, like, it can be hard to, it can be easy actually to forget that, but people want to support you and help you. And so I would just encourage everyone to you know, draw on that power of support and connection, to whatever stage you're on in your digesting of your diagnosis, you know, to kind of give you power. Because, you know, people, whether, you know, we have a cure on the horizon, that's for sure. By 2025, we will have a cure. You know, I don't have a doubt about that. You know, there's no like scientific proof that there's going to be a cure by 2025. There's no study that's been done on that, but I don't need a study to, you know that that's going to happen, because with the power of the FSHD Society, there's no way that we're not going to have a cure by 2025. When you look at all the statistics of the FSHD Society, activism has grown exponentially in the past few years. You know, the community has exploded in a really good way. You know, there are more and more chapters, more and more people getting involved, and even though it can be really isolating sometimes, because even though we all have FSHD, it all affects us differently, you know, we still all have FSHD, and we're struggling with the same disorder, and that's something that can really unite us. And you know, with that unity, moving, we can really move like an army and march towards a cure. And, you know, that's always the picture that I have. You know, it's just an army thousands strong. You know, we have almost 1 million people affected by this disorder, and we're all fighting against it in our own ways, whether or not we've did our diagnosis or not. So, you know, whether you're a Gen Zer or from another generation, you know, it's never too late or too early to join us, and to get active in your own way, whether you're going to do your own personal research to find out more about FSHD, or if you're going to start a chapter, or if you're going to participate in a fundraiser, or if you're going to, you know, look into research when you're in college or beyond, or if you're going to be a doctor, or whatever you're going to do, whether you're a patient or a friend or family member of someone with FSHD, you have a role, and you know, you have the power to make a difference in us finding a cure. And that's just something so beautiful. I find, you know, that every single person in this community has the power to make a difference.
Yeah. Wow. Well said. Well said, man. Heloise for president. I mean, wow. That's great. And final, I just want you to plug again, you know, where you can find more about Gen Z for FSHD.
Yeah. So like I said, we right now we are we have our Instagram account. You can follow us at Gen Z_of_FSHD, or you can just look up on Instagram Gen Z of FSHD and it'll pop up. And like I said, you know, our account is growing every day, and we really love to see that. And as we keep growing, you know, we're looking into potentially, you know, using more platforms, like having, you know, recurrent meetings on Zoom in the future, where we can really connect personally, or perhaps setting up more different types of social medias to get a broader reach and different types of you know, content. So the more the merrier, you know, like, and if you're already following us, you know, you can feel free to repost any posts and share with your friends and families, and just, you know, get inspired by what we're sharing, because, you know, the purpose of this account is to encourage you to be an activist and to join us on the march for a cure.
Beautiful. Awesome. Well, thank you, Heloise. We'll talk to you again, I know, in the future. A lot more, I'm sure, is in store that you'll be able to share with us, and we wish you the best. And thanks for spending some time with us today.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. That is Heloise Hoffman. She is a big-time activist here on the FSHD Society, and you're listening to FSHD Society Radio Show. We're going to take a quick break, and so we can spend some time thanking our sponsors and adding what they have to say. So after this quick break, we'll be back on the other side to chat a little bit more. Listening to FSHD Society Radio. You're listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. FSHD Radio is sponsored by Dyne Therapeutics, a muscle disease company focused on advancing innovative, life-transforming therapeutics for people living with genetically driven diseases. Dyne is developing a broad portfolio of therapies for muscle diseases, including programs in facioscapulohumeral muscular dystrophy, myotonic dystrophy type 1, and Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. Utilizing its proprietary FORCE platform, Dyne is developing modern oligonucleotide therapeutic candidates designed to overcome limitations in delivery to muscle. For more information, please visit dyne-tx.com and follow Dyne on LinkedIn and Twitter. Today's podcast is sponsored by PerkinElmer Genomics, a market leader in biochemical and genomic testing solutions. PerkinElmer Genomics understands that obtaining a confirmed genetic diagnosis for FSHD can be a difficult and frustrating experience for both patients and their families. That's why their laboratory prides itself on launching new and innovative technologies to help families find answers that they are looking for. Just over a year ago, PerkinElmer Genomics introduced the first new diagnostic approach to FSHD type 1 genetic testing in nearly three decades. This testing has drastically decreased the time to diagnose while increasing accessibility to patients. Knowing the underlying cause of FSHD can have important implications for the entire family, including help with future medical management decisions. Speak with your provider today and learn more about how you can get testing. Visit PerkinElmer genomics.com to find out more about available testing options for FSHD and other related neuromuscular disorders that may help you and your family today. That's PERKINELMER genomics.com. Welcome back to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for hanging out with us. We had a great guest there, Heloise Hoffman, and she's chapter director down in the Florida area, and also is one of the administrators, I guess you want to call it, right? Lead administrators of the Gen Z for FSHD. So you can find on Instagram at Gen Z underscore of underscore FSHD. Looks like Jacob Dunn is involved in there. Lexi Pappas is involved, and Alina Jones, I believe she mentioned as well, if I'm pronouncing that right, if I got the name correct. Sorry if I did not. But find out more about that, especially, you know, it's not just for Gen Z, but there has to be a community for that, if you ask me, because that is a generation coming up that is going to, I guess, more or less have the baton passed. And I think Heloise is a great representation of that. I mean, she represents our group phenomenal. She's now getting involved in the science side of it, internship and this and that. So great conversation with her. I'm so glad that we had that time to talk with her about things. And I wanted to quickly kind of come back and just hit on those key points, because I know there's some people that are struggling with, do I come out about this? Do I say something about this? Do I keep it to myself? And I've met and talked to many people that took a while to come out. Some still don't really want to talk about it. And I know that everyone has to do that at their own pace. And I don't want to be pushy and say, man, you got to be loud about it. You got to say something. But I also believe that you have to be, I guess, a little bit noisy at some point, because not enough people know about this. And for me, it's not a problem for me to bring it up in a conversation. When someone asks me, are you okay when I'm limping or something like that? I'm like, well, I am. I said, you know, I just got this muscular dystrophy and it just, it's terrible. And like, whoa, shock, something, never heard of it, quickly explain it, wow, this and that. And it just kind of brings another person to the table, right, to understand that I just heard about this. This is unbelievable. You know, yesterday I was at a big surprise. I was coaching a baseball game for my 14-year-old son, and at this field right near my home, I can walk there at our local high school. They played their game there, which was different, not normally their field. But it's a special place for me because the field is named after Mike Neuenfeld, who had muscular dystrophy. He passed away. He had a successful life in the professional world, worked for a strong company. He was also very much into athletics. He kept score for the baseball games and this and that, and he was very active with the high school sports. I believe he went there as well. I have a friend that I grew up with that went to grade school with this man, and he was an impact. He was the poster child for the MDA back in like the 80s, and saw him all over like telethon and this and that. And to have this ball field named after him, to have my kid play at it. When I was diagnosed, I took a walk to that field and never really paid attention to the person's name on it. And there's a plaque there. It tells his story. And it still became this place where I'm like, kind of where I kind of, I don't know, be alone with my thoughts or meditate, find that place. I feel connected there. So it's cool to play there. But within that time I was there, someone asked me, you know, why is it named this? Another opportunity presented itself for me to educate them on muscular dystrophy, this man's life, how it affected me and what I have. And it blew them away. They had no idea that I was dealing with that. They had no idea that this person was, you know, involved with the MDA, had muscular dystrophy. That's why the field was named. There was a connectivity. And if anything, Heloise has talked about in this episode was connectivity. Gen Z is highly connected, right? Very, very, very ultra connected to each other. With that connectivity comes power, as she mentioned, and that if you bring that power and you wield it right, here comes the army, as she mentioned, and that's what it is. So if you are reluctant to talk about it, I think you got to join the army. I think you got to talk at least a little bit about it. And that's kind of my takeaway from it all. That, yeah, Gen Z might get its, you know, digs from the old people like me, right? But they are very connected and they are very passionate about their causes. And that is something that I admire greatly. And I admire Heloise for coming on this episode to represent that generation of FSHD and all the others that are working towards it to make it more known that this is something that is a great cause and the people involved with it are great people. So great representation there. So we're going to take another quick little break because I want to have Fulcrum Therapeutics kind of give their plug for sure, because that's one of our great sponsors of this show. And on the flip side of that, we'll go through events coming up and close up shop for this week. Listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Today's FSHD Society Radio Show is sponsored by Fulcrum Therapeutics. Fulcrum is a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, advancing new medicines that target the root cause of genetically defined rare diseases such as FSHD and sickle cell disease. Fulcrum's approach to drug discovery combines insights from patients with rare diseases with the most advanced tools to identify and develop therapeutics that will target the root cause. For several years, Fulcrum has been honored to work with the FSHD community in efforts to build awareness of the impact of FSHD on individuals and families. Fulcrum works in partnership with leaders from the patient advocacy and medical communities to highlight the impact of rare diseases and support continued research. You can connect with Fulcrum on LinkedIn and follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FulcrumTX. Welcome back to the show, FSHD Society Radio Show. We're back and ready to close up shop for you on another episode. Thanks for being here. Special thank you to our featured guest, Heloise Hoffman. And, of course, you can find what they're doing with Gen Z of FSHD on Instagram. Follow that. You can find their account there. Also, special thank you to our sponsors, Perkin Elmer, Dyne Therapeutics, and Fulcrum Therapeutics. They are huge sponsors of this show, and without them and so many others at FSHD Society, as well as you, the listeners, watchers of the show, this would not be possible. So I thank you all for everything you do for this show to get it up every month, and we'll keep bringing them to you, and you just keep on coming back, and we'll keep bringing these awesome people to share their story and their message, and a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun to keep it going. So let's go through some events here as we're kind of closing up, you know, shop for this month's show. On the 15th of July, FSHDU webinar, 1 to 2 p.m., Dr. Nikia Stinson is going to talk a little bit about physical therapy, kind of keying in on upper body. She's got a lot of degrees, one of which is from Michigan State, a bachelor's degree in kinesiology. And so she's going to talk a little bit about that in that FSHDU webinar on the 15th. The Pacific Northwest is going to have their meeting from 1:30 to 4 on July 18th at the Pacific Bonsai Museum. Check out more and exact location of that at fshdsociety.org. On the 24th of July, the Ontario virtual chapter meeting from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. is scheduled. Find login information there on their page, the fshdsociety.org. On the 27th, one of our great events that we put on, or I should say that they put on, FSHD Society, is the Sharegiver Caregiver Hour from 8 to 9 p.m. It's a monthly meeting for those that don't know, and for people that provide care for our loved ones with FSHD, please register for that event at fshdsociety.org. It's a recurring event, so if you miss one, you can jump on to another. Also, check past shows. We had the episode about that, Caregiver Sharegiver Hour, if you want to listen to more about that. On the 27th of July, it's a Central Texas, South Carolina, and Dallas virtual meeting with Dr. Jamshid Arjamand. There's his last name. We talked about him on this episode a little bit because he was our last month's episode. So a lot there you can unpack with Jamshid. And if you want to hear our past episode with him, it's available where you find podcasts. But from 5 to 6 p.m., they're having that little virtual meeting with him. So check that out as well. And then, of course, I wanted to mention this. Save the date. The Walk and Roll in September 2021 is coming. The Walk and Roll to Cure FSHD. We will have the live stream event through this platform, the FSHD Society Radio Show. There's team captain rallies. There's participant either virtually or in person. All this you can find out at fshdsociety.org. There's a ton of work that goes on or into that event. It is phenomenal. We had to pivot last year, those that I know remember, and we went pretty much virtual all around, and it was a massive success. And to be honest with you, I had other groups reach out to me and say, how did you pull it off? You know, what kind of things can we do to help our fundraising platform go virtual and be successful? And gave them some nuggets to help those organizations, mostly local in my area, how to do that. So it was a huge positive thing and a great, great blueprint. So next month, I'm not really sure what's in store yet. I guess it's a to be determined. Stay tuned as we're working on bringing another guest to you in August. Once again, another special thank you to Heloise Hoffman for joining us today. You want to reach out to me in the meanwhile, please do so. I'm always here for you. FSHDradio@FSHDsociety.org is my email. Final thank you to Perkin Elmer, Dyne Therapeutics, and Fulcrum Therapeutics for being sponsors of the FSHD Society Radio Show. And we will see you next month. Until then, take care. Be well. So glad that you could all join us. And we'll see you next month. Take care.